With the latest in agriculture news from across the state and the country, it's Farm City News Day. And here's your host, Sabrina Hill.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning. Today is Monday, October 2nd. Coming up in today's show, subsurface drip is showing success in alfalfa trials. We'll have more, and more big donations from farmers to California's food banks. That's coming up later. But first, the National Milk Producers Federation is calling on federal and state food regulators to take enforcement action against the imitation dairy product Blue Magic Cashew Milk for continuing to ignore federal standards of identity for dairy products. In a letter sent to the Federal Food and Drug Administration and the California Department of Food and Agriculture, the NMPF said the continued use of a standardized dairy term, milk, on a plant-based imitation made mostly from nuts and water, is a violation of standards defining milk as the product of a dairy animal. The Federation first evaluated Blue Magic Milk, which is manufactured by the California company Urban Remedy, back in June as part of a marketplace survey examining the nutrients in imitation dairy foods. NMPF found that of 244 beverages it reviewed, Blue Magic's two-cup serving contained the highest sodium content, the most grams of fat and calories. Even a half serving, which is one cup, featured the highest calories and fat of all the products surveyed and was the second highest in its sodium level. By contrast, real low-fat milk per cup has more than four times the amount of vitamin A, 3 grams more protein, and 285 milligrams more calcium as the imitation version. Additionally, a serving of Blue Magic has 78 more calories, 10 grams more fat, and 130 milligrams more sodium. An entire 16-ounce bottle of Blue Magic contains 470 milligrams of sodium, which is the equivalent of a fast food hamburger. This action is the second time this year that the National Milk Producers Federation has raised objections over Blue Magic milk. Following its review of imitation products, National Milk brought its concerns to the attention of the FDA and the California Department of Food and Agriculture in letters sent in June to both agencies. Shortly thereafter, Urban Remedy made minor alterations to the beverage's label, renaming the product as Blue Magic Cashew Milk. However, given that the beverage still uses the standardized dairy term without offering the same nutrition as real milk, National Milk Producers Federation has sent a second letter to the agencies pointing out the continued problem with the labeling of the product. The World Dairy Expo is this week in Madison, Wisconsin. Among the many organizations attending is the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance, which will be hosting a discussion on GMOs. They'll be discussing the U.S. FRA's efforts to raise awareness among consumer audiences and the agriculture community about the environmental, nutritional, and economic benefit of GMOs and modern technology through food evolution. The World Dairy Expo runs tomorrow through Thursday. Commercial and backyard poultry producers are encouraged to increase their vigilance to protect their flocks from biosecurity threats. Rod Bain has more.
The fall waterfowl migratory season is underway across the country. And as Jack Shear of USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service points out, so is increased vigilance to protect poultry flocks from biosecurity threats like highly pathogenic avian influenza.
We know that wild waterfowl carry and spread this virus, and they spread it to poultry. Once the virus has adapted to poultry, then it takes on a rapid form and it spreads rapidly.
Shear says part of APHIS's Defend the Flock campaign includes encouraging producer awareness in any changes in commercial or backyard poultry flocks.
Look to see if there's any reduction in feed consumption, any decrease in egg production, any birds that just don't act right, that seem weak or separate themselves or just don't act like they normally do. Those are signs that things are different in the flock and that they should do what they can to get that flock tested.
More information about poultry biosecurity prevention can be found online at www.aphis.usda.gov and type in the phrase, defend the flock. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
To close the ever-present rural broadband availability gap, electric cooperatives that were formed to bring electricity to rural America are increasingly making the move into broadband to fill the supply gap. Rural development was the focus of a Senate Ag Committee hearing on Capitol Hill last week. Ranking Member Debbie Stabenow of Michigan.
I think this is the issue of the moment. At one point, it was connecting the farmhouse at the end of the road with a phone and with electricity, and now it is high-speed internet, and if we don't fix that, we're not going to see the quality of life that we want in our rural communities.
Ann Hazlett is the new Assistant to Secretary for Rural Development. The position replaces the Undersecretary for Rural Development, a Senate-confirmed position that Purdue eliminated as part of the reorganization of USDA.
As we look at the importance of broadband infrastructure and the tool, the lifeline it is for quality of life and economic prosperity. We're really looking at this at USDA from three different pieces. I mentioned looking at the different agencies that were working on this topic at the federal level and making sure there's better collaboration there. I'm also looking at how to increase innovation in the deployment of this technology. And then the third piece is what you're touching on. What are those internal processes and programs that we have at USDA, and how can we make our tools easier to use, easier to apply for? We look forward to working with the committee in the coming months as you're writing this bill to offer specific improvements to the Farm Bill broadband programs.
Electric co-ops bring their own infrastructure to the table, including network construction experiences, utility poles, and existing rights-of-way that can be used to string fiber and other facilities to deliver service to consumers and businesses. Denny Law, the CEO of Golden West Telecommunications Cooperative, testified Thursday on behalf of the NTCA, Rural Broadband Association.
Unfortunately, while USDA programs promote and the USF rules are designed to support robust networks, the high-cost USF budget is not. A hard cap and resulting budget shortfall is now driving consumer rates higher, deterring rural broadband investment, and even cutting USF support for investments that have already been made. In fact, in the nearly 40% of the U.S. landmass that is served by rural carriers, the artificially low, high-cost budget is now the greatest barrier to rural broadband investment that carriers face right now. Because of this limit, tens of thousands of rural consumers will see lower speeds or no broadband at all, precisely what recent reforms were intended to alleviate. We are requesting Congress to help press for a fix to this problem, and we urge the FCC to take action as promptly as possible to address this budget shortfall. The permitting, approval, and review process for deployment of networks across federal and state land-owning agencies must also be addressed in any holistic plan to promote and sustain infrastructure investment. The best-funded, best-planned networks may never deliver fully on their promise if they are caught in regulatory red tape and needless delay.
Senator John Hoeven of North Dakota asked Law and other witnesses about their three top priorities for the new Farm Bill. Law offered his thoughts.
Senator, we would strongly support continued full authorization for the broadband loan program and the traditional telecom loan opportunities that that rural telecommunications providers can take advantage of for affordable financing of expensive broadband networks in very rural areas. And as many dollars are available for those types of applications to further that mission would be our number one, number two, and number three.
Denny Law, CEO of Golden West Telecommunications Cooperative. This is Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm your host, Sabrina Hill. We will be back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
The Citrus Research Board invites the citrus industry to attend this year's California Citrus Conference on Wednesday, October 11th in Visalia. Join the CRB at 7:30 for registration and a free breakfast. Sessions kick off at 9 with a focus on ACP control and HLB early detection technologies. California Ag Secretary Karen Ross will address attendees, followed by a free barbecue lunch. Afternoon sessions include post-harvest technologies, biocontrol, and the very latest in citrus breeding and varieties. Pre-register for this free conference online at citrusresearch.org.
Your local DuPont Pioneer team doesn't take with you from the word go lightly, especially when it comes to forages. Just ask your fellow producers, folks like Amos Smith.
We have an awesome support team from Pioneer. I think that they're probably one of the reasons why we are successful.
And Bruce Cullum.
They'll come out just anytime you want to call them and help us. You don't get that from all your other seed dealers, but these guys are here all season long.
As well as Ken Felt.
Just know that, you know, the research that Pioneer's done, it really, it shows, and that the cows really do well with it, so we continue to use it.
Or Billy Rucker.
All in all, you know, seem like Pioneer is always in the top. I bleed green, and I bleed Pioneer.
Want a team that's with you from the word go? That's DuPont Pioneer. Ask them about leveraging the silage zone resource to produce the highest quality forages for your operation. Pioneer, with you from the word go.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our technical skills.
Our math. Our engineering skills.
You're going to need our help with your water. Your air.
your food. You're going to need our organizational skills, our problem-solving skills.
You're going to need our determination, our honesty, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Healthy soil can help protect your farm from drought and protect soil and water resources. Contact your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office today.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's Brian German.
The recent Alfalfa and Forage Field Day showcased research examining the positive results seen in subsurface drip irrigation in alfalfa. Statewide Alfalfa and Forage Extension Specialist Dan Putnam noted their trials are showing better efficiency with subsurface drip.
We're able to follow the needs of the crop much more carefully. Small amounts of water can be applied at times that the crop needs it, which is a real advantage compared with, say, surface irrigation systems or what we call check flood irrigation, which you're pretty limited in terms of how much water is applied in one irrigation.
SDI does require diligence in gopher management, but it also provides the potential for substantial gains in overall yield.
Many growers have actually seen quite some yield benefits from SDI and alfalfa on the order of 20-30%, which is pretty dramatic in the long season environments that we see in the low deserts in the Central Valley.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Well, in today's livestock news, a big event is taking place this week across seas. As a matter of fact, a Florida cattle producer is preparing for this event, which just happens to be the largest livestock exposition in the European Union. AgNet Media's Abby Taylor has the story.
The 26th annual Sommet de l'Élevage will take place October 4th through 6th in France. The Sommet is the EU's largest livestock exposition, featuring competitions, workshops, and nearly 1,400 exhibitors from around the globe. Benoit Delaloy, the Sommet's international events director, says the 2017 summit will be the best year ever.
It's, of course, the best year so ever, because so far we have 1,450 exhibitors registered, so we are quite happy about it. Then we will organize some animal shows, competitions for 2,000 animals, beef and dairy cattle, sheep and horses. We will organize about 50 conferences and workshops. We organize as well every year an innovation competition for our exhibitors to award the best innovations of the year in the farming and livestock industry.
This year, the Sommet is especially exciting for U.S. cattle producers because, for the first time ever, Americans have been invited to the event. Renee Strickland of Strickland Ranch and Exports Incorporated and former president of the Livestock Exporters Association is among the few Americans to be attending the event. She invites several French farmers to her Florida ranch every year, which prompted her interest in the Sommet. Now that Strickland has the opportunity to actually attend, she has one key goal in mind.
My real purpose of attending this trade show on behalf of the Livestock Exporters Association is to actually help try and develop some trade regarding live cattle between the EU and the United States. This is a subject that's been stymied me for years, and I'm kind of hoping to help move it along in the process, talking with producers from France. You know, being a global economy, that's kind of where it's at. We're all going to be trading with each other.
For Southeast AgNet, I'm Abby Taylor.
Thanks, Abby. And a new report says the U.S. beef herd will keep expanding through the end of this decade, but there shouldn't be any need for an increased beef packer capacity. The report from Cobank says the herd will increase 3-5% from 2018 to 2019. Improving pasture conditions and continued profitability in the beef sector have been fueling herd expansion the past few years. Trevor Amon, animal protein economist at Cobank, said over the last 3 years, the expansion has been the most aggressive on record. He said recent slaughter numbers in the cattle on feed mix indicate the expansion rate may be slowing, but barring any significant export interruptions or weather events, the expansion will continue through the end of the decade. The increasing cattle numbers are bringing more market-ready cattle through the supply chain, but expectations are that slaughter capacity should remain sufficient. Amen says plants will be adding extra working hours to get through the increasing supply through 2019. The biggest potential concerns as the industry drifts closer to capacity are labor availability and unforeseen plant shutdowns for maintenance. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West. AgriView with Everett Greiner is next.
Well, the word snap has a lot more meaning than breaking a twig or popping your fingers. It stands for Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. It's a federally funded program that feeds 42 million Americans. Low-income families, people with disabilities, the elderly, those without jobs. Divide it up, that figures about $4.15 a day, but it's a lot more than it sounds like. Most of the recipients are children. It's a service to farmers as well as grocery stores and supermarkets. It does more than just feed people. It keeps people off the streets, even out of hospitals, not to mention out of trouble. Now, how do farmers benefit? Well, SNAP provides a market for 42 million people. But it's going to change. It's facing a challenge from the new administration right now. What changes, we don't know yet. But changes are coming. And that's Ag Review for today. Everett Grinder, Ag Ed West.
Members of Hunger U are making their way through California. They visited Fresno State for the first stop in their California tour, and today are headed out to their next stop. They're going to several other colleges in the state, including UC Davis, UCLA, Riverside, and more. Our Taylor Hillman has more in today's interview segment.
So my name is Cheyenne Edmondson. I'm the 2017 Hunger U crew member, and I help with public relations.
So what is Hunger U? You guys are here with this big black trailer. What is Hunger U? What's the cause?
So Hunger U, we're a nonprofit traveling exhibit that goes around to universities across the country just spreading awareness about food insecurity and hunger. We really want to bridge that gap with students, university students especially, and just getting them informed about food insecurity and hunger and how it's an issue here both in the U.S. and globally. We also touch base with different research and technology that's been developed through agriculture to kind of help alleviate hunger. We're an initiative put on by Farm Journal Foundation, and they've created us in an effort to kind of talk to university students.
You have some agriculture background. Agnet West is an agriculture company or agriculture media company, so we understand this. But yeah. The point is to reach those people who may not understand the role that agriculture plays in food insecurity, right?
Yeah, we really want to inform students that maybe don't have experience with agriculture or that might be kind of on the fence on what to believe or not. We don't take sides on anything. We just really want to promote the awareness of hunger and food insecurity and how agriculture can really be a solution to that through technology, research. There's so much research that's going into like how to provide food for the growing population, because that number is always going to just keep on increasing. And when you think about if the population's increasing, that means less land to work with, less resources. You're going to compromise with resources with different industries other than agriculture, and just for the people themselves, like they need water as well. So like how do you manage producing more food for that population with less resources? So agriculture is doing so much research, putting so much money into figuring out this and trying to provide for that growing food supply. So it's definitely what we encourage people to acknowledge and know that it's definitely a solution in it.
And you and I talked briefly about you talked about ag research, the importance of the cooperative extension and all that. That research is key to getting us in the position we need to be to feed that growing population, right?
Oh, yes. I'm a firm believer in extension. I know back home, my dad farms. We do corn, soybeans, cattle, and the extension office is a really good resource. And when you think about other countries, they don't have systems quite like that where farmers can go to those extension office and learn about, hey, this is what I'm doing and this is what people are doing in their fields, like cover crops, and this is helping their soil. It's helping them provide for more feed for their cattle when crop seasons are in place. So I just think extension is just this really valuable resource that we're very fortunate to have here in the United States, and if we can always support that system, that's great.
So you're here at CSUF Fresno State. You guys have been on a long tour. You told me you're in Minnesota. Talk about some of the places you've been and where you're going to.
Yeah. So we started our tour, our 10-week tour in the Minnesota State Fair, which as, if anyone's ever known about Minnesota State Fair, it's ginormous. And it was really neat because we touched base with adults, older people, youth. So we hit our message on a wide basis of people. And that was really unique. And Minnesota is still very agricultural based. So we had a lot of people that connected with what we were talking about. And of course, that's always unique. And we got to meet a lot of 4-H students, which are the future of agriculture. We also have gone to the University of Minnesota, Concordia, Fresno State's our first stop here in California. We plan to go to UCLA, Caltech, UC Riverside, and UC Davis, and then the University of San Francisco. And then to wrap up our whole tour, we'll be going to the National FFA Convention in Indianapolis. So we really strive to always make it to the National FFA Convention because just like 4-H, FFA is a lot of youth that are really pursuing agriculture, and they're the voices and the next generation. And we just firmly believe that they'll make some great changes and really be the motivators in agriculture and advocates. It's cool to reach out to them.
So let's talk about what you're doing here exactly. You have some tablets set up. People can come and take a survey. And what does that do?
So yeah, we've created a 6-challenge quiz that just tests people's knowledge about food insecurity and hunger. So we have multiple iPads. Sometimes we get swarms of people, and we never want to turn anyone away because for every challenge taken, our sponsors, which are National Corn Growers Association, GrowMark, and Bill and Melinda Gates, they're very generous in that for every challenge taken, they'll donate money equivalent to one meal to the food pantry that we select at each university we go to. So we try to keep it local and personal for every university we go to. And so we've selected Fresno Student Cupboard Pantry here on their campus to donate money to for every challenge taken. So we just really want that 6-question challenge to be a way of getting people thinking about technology and research that's going into alleviating hunger, and just getting them aware of it and sparking that conversation. If they have questions, we always ask them after the challenge, ask us questions, start that conversation. So we think that's really important. And then they're also giving back to their community.
And there's also some information that pops up after the questions. We took the questions. There's some information that pops up about it. Yeah. But also at the very end, there's an extra step where they can let representatives know. They can let the important people know that they are interested in this, right?
Oh, yes. That's another big message we're trying to send to people, especially university students, that their voices matter up in D.C. and that we send them a quick letter that just says you've taken the Hunger You Challenge, that you've learned a little bit about food insecurity, you find that something that's important and you want that policymaker to keep an eye out for. So we ask for their zip code, and then we'll send that email to that message to their policymakers that are connected to that zip code. So I think that's a really unique message and way of just reminding them that they can make an impact and they have a voice, and those policymakers do listen to it. The more letters that get sent, the more they'll take notice of it. So
lots of agriculture associations here in California struggle to really get people together to contact those policymakers because it does matter when they hear from you.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it does. And when you get a community of people all sending the same message, that really sends a red flag to them, like, hey, this is important to us. So all you can do is hope that, the more people you have to back you up.
If people want to find out more information or to help, if they're not able to make one of these trailers that are out here at the colleges, where do they go? Where can they find out more?
Yeah, definitely check us out on HungerU.com. That's our main website. If anyone's interested in taking the HungerU Challenge, we have a website for the HungerUChallenge.com. Please check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Social media is such a big way to communicate with this generation of people. And so we really strive to get our message through Facebook. And so via Facebook, and Instagram, you can see all our travels as we go. And I think that's really fun to just see, our motto or our slogan is to make hunger extinct. So sometimes you'll see a little dinosaur in our pictures that is, traveling. It'll be in the sunny state of California, and then it will be in Minnesota, and it will be in Indianapolis. So just follow us on social media and you'll see what we're doing and all the great things that we're spreading in all these areas and universities.
Hashtag HungerU, hashtag end hunger, hashtag hunger extinct, right? Any other hashtags I'm missing?
Those are the main ones.
All right. Thank you, Cheyenne. I appreciate it. Good luck with the rest of your tour.
Yeah. Thank you, Taylor. We really appreciate it.
This is Farm City News Day by AgNet West. We will be back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
The Citrus Research Board invites the citrus industry to attend this year's California Citrus Conference on Wednesday, October 11th in Visalia. Join the CRB at 7:30 for registration and a free breakfast. Sessions kick off at 9 with a focus on ACP control and HLB early detection technologies. California Ag Secretary Karen Ross will address attendees, followed by a free barbecue lunch. Afternoon sessions include post-harvest technologies, biocontrol, and the very latest in citrus breeding and varieties. Pre-register for this free conference online at citrusresearch.org.
Your local DuPont Pioneer team doesn't take "with you" from the word go lightly, especially when it comes to forages. Just ask your fellow producers, folks like Amos Smith.
We have an awesome support team from Pioneer. I think that they're probably one of the reasons why we are successful.
And Bruce Cullum.
They'll come out just anytime you want to call them and help us. You don't get that from all your other seed dealers, but these guys are here all season long.
As well as Ken Felt.
Just know that, you know, the research that Pioneer's done, it really, it shows, and the cows really do well with it, so we continue to use it.
Or Billy Rucker.
All in all, you know, seem like Pioneer is always in the top. I bleed green, and I bleed Pioneer.
Want a team that's with you from the word go? That's DuPont Pioneer. Ask them about leveraging the silage zone resource to produce the highest quality forages for your operation. Pioneer, with you from the word go.
AgNet West Radio Network.
The House Budget Committee has voted 22-14 along party lines.
Your trusted agriculture news provider for the state of California. AgNet West's team of Sabrina Hill.
As crews continue to fight the Detweiler fire in Mariposa County.
Brian German.
Weedy rice has been a growing concern for California farmers.
And myself, Taylor Hillman. Join us every day to stay up to date with the latest agriculture news from AgNet West Radio Network and online at agnetwest.com.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. Here's Taylor Hillman.
Specialty crop news from AgNet West. Almond harvest is wrapping up, and experts remind growers that the navel orange worm damage report they get from their processor is not a good representation of the infestation problem they have in their orchard.
When we get that report back from our processor, and it states that we have, you know, 1 or 2 or 4% navel orange worm damage from the processor, generally we see through our crackout data and comparison data that we're running minimally a double that value in the field. So if you're getting a 2% navel orange worm damage in the field, that usually means you have a 4% loss in the field.
Cooperative Extension Pomology Tree Crop Advisor David Dahl explains why.
And the reason why that other 2% doesn't show up is, one, you lose some nuts or some of the damage through the harvesting process, is sweeping, pickup, etc. And also at the processor, they do damage by weight, not by count. So when you're weighing nuts that have been half eaten, it actually is less damage than if you actually did a true nut count of ones that have been infested. That may sound like that's a good thing, but the reality is that's crop loss. So you're only seeing or thinking you have a 1% to 2% problem. That really means you have a 4% to 5% problem. And therefore, you know, keep that in mind when you're trying to cost out or price out these different management strategies.
So if growers think they have an insect problem based on the processor's damage report,
they have a bigger problem than what they think they have.
I'm Taylor Hillman for AgNet West Radio Network.
The Environmental Protection Agency announced it's considering a new proposal to reduce 2018 biodiesel, advanced biofuel, and total renewable fuel standard volumes. That in addition to a prior proposal to cut 2019 volumes. And that has ethanol supporters hopping mad. Dustin Hoffman reports on the comments from the Renewable Fuels Association president and CEO, Bob Dineen, on the EPA wanting to lower these volumes for biodiesel in the renewable fuels standard.
Bob Dineen, president and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, says that this is primarily in response to a perceived reduction of biodiesel imports and doesn't agree with the move.
Well, EPA's thinking here is that because of various trade patterns, it looks as though we may be importing less biodiesel this coming year than we have in previous years. Now, A, I'm not sure that that's going to prove to be true. B, so what? And C, the signal that EPA ought to be sending to the marketplace is we need to be growing these markets. These are technologies that you need to be investing in. We need to be expanding biofuel use. Not artificially reducing the levels so as to shrink the marketplace.
Dineen says that while imports are counted towards the availability amount in biodiesel, he believes that the World Trade Organization will respond unfavorably to this type of move.
We certainly acknowledge that imports are part of the available supply for obligated parties to utilize in meeting the renewable fuel standard. But there are, you know, there are other ways to address some of your trade impacts, and I'm a bit concerned that what EPA is contemplating here might ultimately be determined by the WTO as being a non-tariff trade barrier.
Dineen is urging farmers and consumers to send a message that this reduction cannot stand. This is Dustin Hoffman.
Food banks in the agriculture community are coming together in Orange County to celebrate the success of doubling the fresh produce and protein donated to needy Californians. The event was a donation of more than 245,000 pounds of California-grown food to Orange County's two food banks, Second Harvest Food Bank of Orange County and Orange County Food Bank. Nearly 7 years ago, the California State Board of Food and Agriculture set an ambitious goal: work with the state's farmers and ranchers and the California Association of Food Banks to double contributions of fresh foods to food banks from 100 million pounds to 200 million pounds annually. Not surprisingly, the agriculture community has crushed the goal. California-grown and produced foods donated to the food banks for this event included 5 truckloads of mushrooms from Monterey Mushrooms, 200 Foster Farms whole turkeys, 2 truckloads of rice products, 40,000 pounds of pears, 20,000 pounds of stone fruit, 14,000 pounds of milk, and much, much more. For more on any of the stories you've heard here this morning, visit our website at agnetwest.com. You can also find us on Twitter at agnetwest or myself at Sabrina W. Hill. This has been Farm City News Day by Agnet West, and I am your host, Sabrina Hill. Have a wonderful day.